Hello, this is Truth Be Told Transformation, and I'm your host, Bonnie Burkert, bringing you tools for transformation to live your highest truth, your best life, and to be your shiniest. I'd say one of the studies that has really been an aha and has helped keep me shiny is to understand our chakras. Our chakra system, you know, and my study of that really informed my physical yoga practice and sort of transcended it into the real purpose of yoga, which is the union with the divine. So I have an expert to talk with us today about all things chakra and how to stay balanced and well and shiny. Welcome, Cindy Dale.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. I love chakras. I actually saw them when I was a little girl. So I'm one of those lucky people who have believed in chakras, labeled or not, my whole life.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, I look back to when I was little and I wonder about some of the things I saw and experienced and to what extent that was mystical or just my imagination. But I think that's probably one and the same when you're little, right?
I think it is. And, you know, when we don't have the same types of boundaries when we're really little that we do when we're grown up, and those boundaries are psychological and enculturated and, you know, sometimes effective, sometimes not, but they kind of like try to keep out the dangers. And I think when we're little kids, we're like, oh, we're just sort of wide open. And those realms are open to us when we're tiny.
Yeah, well, here's the keeping that open, and this is what we can do. And I'd say by being informed, Cindy, I feel like the information you're going to share with us today really is something that will be quite an aha, because I know when I first saw an image of the chakras and moving up the spine and the different colors and the corresponding colors with the rainbow for each energy center, what an aha, the rainbow, the frequency. So I think that's really exciting. And this is something that you've been working on for a very, very long time as an author, speaker. You're a professor of energy healing. Is that correct?
Well, not. I have taught at colleges.
Okay.
So I, you know, kind of some people call me a professor of energy medicine. Some people call me a spiritual scholar because I love the science of energy. I love the mystical, the thousands of years that we've been gestating this information, you know, and we're just now opening science up so that we can go, hey, that's real. You know, like the chakras, as you're already saying, they exist on bands or frequencies of colors and sound. And we can start to, you know, codify some of that. We can see the auric fields now with certain, you know, types of photography. And so what has, you know, kind of come down through the ages that's been part of mystical traditions in nearly every culture is really starting to infiltrate the scientific community too.
Oh, that's so exciting. I just love that. Let's bring it also to the medical part of it, the actual physical part of it. So each chakra corresponding with the different endocrine system, right? So why don't you take us through that? It's such an aha. When I see that and learn about it, I just thought to myself, this really is real. And so I really encourage everybody to listen carefully, because this knowledge, this awareness can really, I feel, wake you up.
It can. And I'll talk through those basic chakras. Sort of a preamble to that is science has now proven that 99.999 plus percent of an object, including a body, is made out of subtle energy. That's psychic energy. That's the stuff of chakras and auric fields and meridians. And it's what happens in the subtle world that kind of decides, serves as the lattice work about what's going to appear in the physical. And so chakras are kind of where it's at, because they're the brains of the body. They're literally like mini computers in the body that hold different memories depending on which chakra we're talking about, and interface, like you're saying, with the physical body, with nerve plexuses. So they're coded right into your neurological system, different endocrine glands, and each chakra really regulates or determines what's happening with the organs and the tissue that are around it. So we're not talking just airy fairy, let's meditate and put a little purple in your sixth chakra, which is vision. You know, let's deepen our understanding into the body, because that's how we heal. That's how we manifest. So first chakra, red in the hips, That's the one that's in charge of your physicality. There you go. That's your root chakra. That connects into your adrenals, which are a little farther up in the body, but also your coccyx. And you know what? This one really runs your neurological system, to be honest. Mystical knowledge, the Hindu sort of encoded their spiritual tracks to tell us that the real root of the first chakra is in what they call Pakhanda. It's lumbar vertebrae 1 through 5, which is the basis of your neurological system. Second chakra, abdomen, we see this is orange. It's all about creativity, feelings. And you know what? That's in your enteric nervous system. These days, medical science goes, oh, that's not just your feelings, that's your immune system as well. And so those tie into your ovaries or your testes, you know, from that endocrine system point of view. Let's jump up. Solar plexus, that's in your, you know, your gut, if you would. And that's the yellow center that links to your pancreas. This holds all your beliefs about power, success, functionality, organization. What's interesting about this center is those of us, me, who are ADD, this is the chakra that's always taking in intuitive data that kind of blows your brain so you can't keep up with what is happening, you know, in your brain either. So it's very interesting to learn a little bit of detail about each chakra because they impact our personality and our traits. Heart chakra, green, typically known as the very center of the energy system. This is your healing center. And of course, it's linked to the heart. We didn't used to know a couple decades ago that the heart is an endocrine gland, but it makes hormones. That's what endocrine glands do. They make hormones that we need. Oxytocin, the bonding hormone for a lot of men, vasopressin, which is a calming hormone. Those are made in your heart, which is really largely also deciding the health of all your organs and organ systems. So let's jump to the throat, the blue chakra, the fifth chakra, communication. We get guidance in through the back of the throat chakra. This is your thyroid. And, you know, I used to think just because it was a little organ, it must not be really important. Oh my stars, if your thyroid is off, your life is off. Your world is off. Your energy, your sleeping, your heat regulation, your moods, very, very critical chakra and endocrine gland.
Can I interrupt?
Yeah, go ahead.
Just because I wanted, there's a million questions as you go from chakra to chakra and I'm going to forget. So I want to stay, if you don't mind, around the thyroid.
Love it.
So it's almost, you know how some people feel blocked and there, perhaps we feel blockage in our throat. I guess what I'm trying to ask you, Cindy, what comes first? The thyroid problem or perhaps that stuffiness in our throat? I mean, do you see what I'm asking? I mean, it's like an Yep. interesting way to look at an understanding, a balancing of that particular energy center.
Well, I'm going to speak to it from a subtle energy and physical energy perspective. So in energy healing, I believe that first the subtle block comes first and then the physical problems. Okay. And I'll tell you why, because this center is active even when we're in the womb. And it's always a channeling center. It doesn't mean that all of us hear dead people talk or telepathy or whatever. But the thyroid is firstly regulated, I believe, by subtle energy. So let's say you're around parents who scream all the time. The energetic charges in the screaming can actually get locked into that throat chakra. And I believe as those pile up over time, what are we going to do with that? Especially when we're kids, where the psychic toxins turn into physical toxins. And, you know, even guidance, if we're receiving guidance knowingly or not knowingly from the invisible spirits, if it's negative guidance, if it's not good for us, you know, that's going to impact the thyroid. That's going to kind of make that thyroid, if you would want to shut down too much, then we might have hypothyroid issues or up and up too wide to try to get better guidance. And then that I believe can set us up for hyper, you know, too, you know, kind of too much thyroid hormone, you know, kind of like manufacturing. So my personal belief is that mainly our issues start anyway with subtle, but you know, once they land in physical, doesn't mean we don't deal with things physically, then the physical sets up other subtle and or emotional problems too.
Indeed.
So it's kind of interesting to think of it. Let's just, what would happen if it's firstly subtle in a way that gives us a lot to do in order to help support the physical? We can work on our feelings. You know, we can figure out, you know, kind of what we were hearing that might've stayed stuck in there, or how we weren't able to speak growing up. And that's going to support the healing, clearing of the physical gland.
Well, that's amazing. Okay, I'm going to let you finish with the last couple of chakras and we'll swing back through.
Yeah, and then we may have other questions about all of them, right?
Yes.
Sixth chakra, also called the third eye, it's up in the brow. Some people see that as an indigo. I typically see that as purple. Little of this, little of that, you know, go with whatever makes sense to you. That's connected into your pituitary gland. This is literally your clairvoyant energy center. So how you see things. So we have the same chicken or egg question up here. You know, when you're taking in, you know, kind of how your parents are seeing you or views the world have of a person like you or you, how does that impact the physical organ and your eyesight? So we're sort of talking on all of these chakras, I think, with the same set of questions. Jump up, seventh chakra, the crown chakra. It's considered to be white. It's linked in, sometimes violet. It's linked in to the pineal gland, one of the most important glands for those of us seeking, like you're saying, Bonnie, to get that unity with self, you know, the sense of unity with others, and of course, unity with the divine as well. That's what the pineal gland is all about. And it produces lots of different hormones that help us sleep, that do mood regulation, but also give us higher consciousnesses, you know, experiences, out of body experiences, that kind of meta consciousness that we're so often looking for.
Oh, brilliant. Okay. I want to ask you, in my tradition, Kundalini yoga, as what I've studied in my training, we have an eighth chakra and that's the aura. So I just wanted to ask how you feel about that and sort of tying them all in that way, in that broader sort of all around, all encompassing.
Fun question. There's a couple directions I can go. When I was a kid and I saw these colored orbs around people, I saw 12, not 7.
Wow.
So I'm even more complicated. We don't need to go into all of that. When I was learning about chakras in my 20s, you know, kind of more formally, I was like, well, what are these other five? I still see them around people. So in my 12 chakra system, I include those extra five chakras, which endocrine glands they connect to, how they connect us to earth and, you know, the heavens and past lives, powers of commanding. So I'm going to answer your question via that pathway. Of course, I believe there's other energy centers and other chakras. What you're talking about as the eighth chakra, that sort of surrounding field, I call it the 12th. It's the same idea that it's like saying we're surrounded by our own spirit at all times. Mm-hmm. So whatever the name of it is, it's the same concept. And it's a wonderful thing, I think, to embrace that idea that we don't just stop at the skin or in the spine. And we know the chakras emanate in front of us and in back of us and around us, but they're all of us too.
Wow. Yes, I love that. And I was definitely intrigued because I've heard about how there's chakras in the palms of our hands or at our knees and things like that. And those are the subtle and maybe considered the minor chakras. But I know that you are... you know, your book is Advanced Chakra Healing. And so I wanted, and perhaps that's something that you go into more of these subtleties. So why don't you talk to us a little bit? I mean, obviously we want people to buy the book, but you can tell us a little bit about what's in there and what an example of chakra healing might be.
Okay. So I'm actually going to bring up two books because that is a big book. That's maybe 800 pages, Advanced Chakra Healing. It's like a graduate program in chakras. Let's just be honest. And if you don't want to go through all that, don't. Then buy Llewellyn's little book of chakras. It's nice. It's tidy. It's going to cover your seven chakras. It's still thick and gives you lots of exercises. So go wherever you're drawn. That advanced chakra healing book actually introduces another, kind of deeper, steeper idea, and suggests that we coexist in this world on four different pathways or levels of reality at the same time. So simultaneously, I'm in the everyday world. I'm in this sort of power grid where I can make big changes really fast. I'm in the imaginal realm where I can go to different planets, and I'm on a divine pathway where everything's of spirit and shifts in a different way than on the others. And the chakras go in between those pathways. So there's sort of like the elevators. So you can approach a challenge or a problem or a desire, and even something that's going great, you want to enhance it, you can approach it in different ways. So chakra healing is really all about figuring out how to alter the energy that's causing a problem, or how to sort of magnify the energy that's giving you what you want so you can get even more of what you want. You know, this very simple formula, because energy, which Einstein said and has been proven accurate, is everything. Everything seen and unseen is made out of energy. Energy is just information that moves. So if you don't like something that's happening, like a tumor, you don't want that, or, you know, the fact that you keep getting fired from jobs, or, you know, you just keep marrying the same person, kind of person, over and over, you want to alter the energy. You want to change the data creating that situation that's stored in the chakras. You want to change the vibration of what's happening, say, in a chakras, or you want to change both. And you don't have to do it perfectly. You know, isn't that important to know, Bonnie? Because I feel like with complicated chakra systems, we can get overwhelmed and go, oh my God, I'm never going to learn this. I'm never going to be good at it. You already have chakras. We're already an expert, all of us, each of us, at who we are. So you can just make minor changes and create major happenings.
Yes, I love that. And I mean, I think, like I said in the beginning, it starts with awareness. And I mentioned my studies in Kundalini yoga, and they always say it is the yoga of awareness and the subtleties. And it can even be when we're doing an exercise, a movement, we're paying attention to that energy center that is moving. So it could be, you know, you're doing a spinal twist and that's affecting your heart and lungs, and paying attention to that and how you're oxygenating that region of your body. And I don't know what might happen. Is there a bit more of a heart opening because you've done some physical work around it, but you're also tuned into it? And what is a heart? What is that? What is a heart opening? You know, people may not even be fully aware of that, of what that could potentially mean.
I didn't know what that was years ago. I had a series of therapists in my 20s. I started early fixing things, say, you know, your heart's blocked. Your heart's not open. And I'm like, I don't know. It's pumping. They're really talking about the energy, the field of the heart chakra, which includes the physical heart. Now, the science on the physical heart, I'm sure you know some of this, Bonnie, so cool, that when you hold positive beliefs in that heart space, when you, you know, kind of like think about good things, when you work on calming your heartbeat, you know, when you do these kind of things with the physical heart, it beats in a really steady way, and it tells the other organs how to function together. So you're healthier, you're happier, people like you better. And when your physical heart is working in that positive flow, you actually make more money. So just a plug. But that's often regulated by the chakra, you know, the energy body that holds the physical heart, the lungs, the breasts. And so to have an open heart, what we're talking about is that chakra is open to giving love and to receiving love in the front side, but we have a backside. So if the backside is open, you know, when the field of the heart chakra goes, you know, kind of out there and it's inviting in positive responses, We also get a lot of spiritual energy, spiritual support. Unconditional love streams in through the backside of the heart chakra, which just helps us open up to the world in that way. You know, we all know what it's like when we meet a person, we're instantly like, now I don't mean romantically attracted, where we go, what a nice person. I trust them. I feel better just looking at that person's smile. That's probably an open heart chakra person.
I love that. You know, Cindy, I got to tell you something very specific about myself. For years now, I have this weird deal that sometimes the area of my back behind my heart is itchy. And I mean, I've had people, you know, dermatologists, I'm like, could you look and see if I have like a freckle or something happening? It's like, what's going on? And, you know, I'll take pencils and scratch my back. I'm like, why? But I really have to think it's something energetic. There's nothing back there. It's just my spine.
It's so, the backside of the heart chakra. When right? we grow up and we're not really given unconditional love, hello, right? Mm. You know, that energy center stays, you know, a little tight. When the energy center is tight, the physical tissues are going to be tight. Maybe the vertebrae will be a little strung together. And yeah. so the fix is also energetic to help with the physical going on there. So, you know what I would wish for you, you know, kind of through our time together here, you know, is it in a way that's loving, that's safe, that streams of energy of unconditional love, where that backside of your heart chakra is ready to receive them, that just opens up and they come in. Mm. So let's just ask that for all of us.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, please.
Oh, I can already feel that back there. When I just tune into you, you know, I can feel that backside. It almost looks like a shutter, you know, like on a camera, like it sort of shuts a little bit, opens a little bit. I think that's called the aperture, right? It goes up and down. And the sense I get is of asking, you know, higher guidance for you, you know, to just like stream through enough loving energy. I call it grace or love in motion to heal whichever components of your inner child. And this can be for all of us, or your soul, you know, kind of like went through what was not loving, and just surround those aspects in, you know, compassion, support, safety, security, good, healthy boundaries. And then the unconditional love, I can breathe easier, is able to stream through.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you feel?
That's
Bonnie?
It's great. It's definitely more open and a calming and just really tuned in, like very tuned in. You know, it's what's interesting is also there's a little kink in my back. You know how we all sometimes some of us have the little, you know, scoliosis-y type stuff. And there's a little kink right back in there, too. So isn't that interesting? I think that's my opportunity to pay attention to that area. And certainly my 30-year yoga practice has been, you know, really super demanding. Not demanding, required is what I demand that I, it's, you know, required that I do it. And that's all part of it. And just remembering that the movement that comes through a yoga practice is really helping all of these energy centers right along with breath.
It's so true. And it's, you know, so important to bring up yoga or Tai Chi or Qigong or jiu-jitsu or running or, you know, whatever it is, because my emphasis on subtle energy also needs to invite, you know, the caring for the body and that connection. Subtle and physical energy are really not different. They're on a continuum. And so we shift subtle energies, it's going to help physical. And when we shift physical or open it, or like you're saying, become aware or move or notice what we're doing and maybe take an action that's a little healthier, that's also going to transfer into the subtle energetics. And you get this beautiful boomerang effect, you know, one thing turning into another. And I think we just each have to find our own way, you know, kind of to have that peacefulness enter our body. Like I only did yoga when I was pregnant with my first son. I have no idea. I was 3 months pregnant and I was like, I have to take yoga. I took yoga. I mean, by the eighth month, I looked pretty ungainly. I think all I was doing was really like breathing while everybody else turned into a pretzel. But I diligently went to yoga, and then I never did yoga again. And my oldest son isn't a particularly calm person. Thank goodness I did the yoga. Maybe that gave him his grounding, because he's very grounded. I meditate every morning at the dog park. I like being alone. Every so often we all need that, because I'm with people or on the phone or whatever all day. So I get up at 4:08. I have a slot at the dog park where it's the time I know I'm going to be alone before the other people, you know, they've left or they're arriving. Throw the dogs in my car, drive to the dog park, and we all get to be wolves. And I sing, I meditate, you know, I move my arms around. It's sort of like Cindy's dog yoga. And I'm in a great mood when I come home. I'm calm and grounded and ready to go.
I love that. And thank you for sharing. And I really want to encourage everybody to explore just different types. I mean, yoga doesn't have to mean the down dog position being held for 20 seconds, please. It is about movement. It is about awareness and flow, right? That we can, and it's the flow through these energy centers that we're talking about. So, Cindy, I'm going to stay with the heart chakra. What do you think about the fact that the coronavirus affected our lungs and that part of our body?
I love that question. All right. So in my world of subtle energy, all right, viruses, different microbes hold different meaning, and they operate kind of in their own unique way. I believe, because I've perceived it, so it may or may not be true for everybody, that viruses, and scientists don't know if viruses are even alive or not. Mm. They don't really understand viruses. They don't actually have a brain. They have little strands of RNA or DNA. All right. And then they eat our cells and run them. But from an energetic perspective, the viruses always have a bond, it's called a cord, to an outside force, typically that's negative. It is no mystery to me that here's the coronavirus. It's in the heart. It's in the vascular system. It's also known as a vascular or a blood vessel disease, which is still heart chakra. And look at what we're learning from it. Wherever it started, China, you know, that virus is not stopping at the territory that we're drawing on the maps. It passes from person to person, and it's inviting all of us to take a look at, how do we treat each other? How are we treating the planet? You know, what are we supposed to do as a community to assist those who are more vulnerable rather than those who are less vulnerable? You know, how are we going to achieve like a way of living that brings safety but provides bonding? I mean, look at what's come out of the last 2 years, is so many people feeling isolated and lonely. Those are diseases of the heart chakra.
Yes.
They are. And I got the coronavirus actually in December, you know, of 19. Wow. I came home from China with it.
Oh, wow. Yes. I was going to ask, because I know you teach over there, that you do workshops over there. And I, you know, I'm very curious to hear about their interest in this.
I love the people I know over there.
Yeah.
You know, it's a spiritual community. I got it in China and brought it home.
That's
we didn't know what it was.
Crazy.
I had all the symptoms. You know, I'm like, why do I feel like this? I wasn't sick very long with the actual heavy duty symptoms, but I was fatigued for 2 to 3 weeks. I mean, I would walk up my little dog hill at the park. It's a very little hill, and go, oh my God, am I having a heart attack? And you know, it, you know, nobody wants to be sick. Nobody, you know, likes, you know, being ill. But I do believe it's interesting, you know, that here it's an international disease, and it's asking us, how do we treat each other? What are we giving to each other? Right?
Yes.
Could we be giving something more positive? And how are our systems set up to take care of true health and true healing? And we saw a lot of deficits in the last 2 years. Zoom stock is probably right out the window, up and out. I mean, so there's many, many ways to connect, and we have to learn new and different ways.
Well, and perhaps a greater appreciation. I mean, just for one love, one planet, and each other because we had to be separated from each other.
Yeah.
I think it's just interesting, you know, at this particular juncture where we're really being invited to, again, wake up, you know, and raise the vibes. So speaking of raising the vibes, I'd like to ask you about the lower chakra and how the energy raises up the spine and gets a little bit more high frequency as we, obviously, I mean, base of the spine versus the brain. So let me know what your thoughts are on energy flow that way.
So I believe that the energy that comes up into the coccyx, the base of the spine, the first chakra, that it's going to be healthiest on its journey upward if we also bring energy up through our feet.
Okay. So, yeah, sure.
All right. So we need to bring up earth energy, air, water, wood, natural energy. So we're so, you know, interdependent and dependent on nature. I think it's really incumbent on us to remember that and remember we have to fuel ourselves with natural energy. You know, what we're breathing, you know, the kind of water we're drinking, et cetera. So that base of the spine is very, very interesting because associated with the first chakra is that area in the spine. It's not quite in the coccyx, but the Hindus link it to the first chakra. It's called the khanda in the Hindu system, the Kata Aquina in science, and it's lumbar vertebrae 1 through 5. And it's known as kind of the core of the neurological spine. It's the electricity and the chemistry of your spine. Mm. So all the different, you know, varieties of chakra systems and our knowledge of it from different cultures actually aligns with science, that from that lower basin, that lower part of the body, we're pumping electricity up the spine. At one level, the kundalini is electricity. Our chemistry, you know, working with our minerals, and they call them ions, you know, is pumping energy up into the greater part of our body as well. And that nervous system in the gut that holds our digestion, our microbiome, we're now proving that most of the energy, most of the data passes from that gut center to the brain. 90% of it goes from the gut to the brain, not the brain down the body.
Awesome.
So everything these beautiful chakra systems are teaching us, which is that physically, psychologically, and spiritually, we need to bring every, you know, kind of bit of who we are and what we get from nature up to be healthy and to ignite each chakra and its job. So we're full people. So we get to flower, right? So we get to be, you know, the tree with the branches and the leaves and the birds and the stars are above. That's how the chakras function.
Beautiful.
The energy has to come up and we have to work through the issues that are stuck or, you know, sort of memorialized. Is that a word? Mm-hmm. They're like Memorex in the chakras.
Right.
They're brains. They're brains of the body. They store memory. When we work through those issues, whether they be physical or emotional or spiritual, more energy can rise and every part of us is going to function better. Plus, we'll think better, we'll sleep better, and we can reach out to the heavens in the way that we're meant to.
Amen. You know, I'm just putting two and two together because the first chakra is also known as the root chakra, and you're inviting us to root down and that base energy. And, you know, sometimes the word base perhaps is suggesting that it's lesser, it's not as high frequency, but we need that. That's a starting point. And it's also our earth connection.
Yes, we have to. I think that some of the explorations, you know, kind of from a human perspective aren't helpful. A lot of times people compare the chakra system, here's the root, the emotions, the mental, up to spiritual, with Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? You've seen that pyramid. We're down here, you got to meet your fundamental needs and you get to work on your emotions. And finally, you self-actualize. You can't let go of any of those functions. You don't work through your first chakra and learn how to take care of your body and know how to make money and then forget about it to do your emotions, which is the second rung. We got to be charging and firing in all these chakras simultaneously. It's more like take the spine, and lay it out like a piano, you know, keyboard, all those notes are important and helpful, or you can't play the full range of songs that you want to be.
I love the music analogy. Cindy, maybe you could take us in our final little bit, maybe you could maybe take us through a bit of a meditation or just some visualization on how we can tune into understanding where we might be off in a chakra. So I had mentioned, obviously, I had like a little itchy that happens in my back. And sure, that gives me something to think about and contemplate. You know, but just because there's a physical signal doesn't necessarily mean that that is the one to focus on, is it? I mean, there could be way more subtle things happening elsewhere.
And often there is. And sometimes we don't physically feel the chakra area that's a problem because we're dissociated from it and we're numbing the problems out.
Right. That makes sense. Right? That makes good sense.
Yeah. So that's a really good point. Let's work with our heart chakra, because that's the center chakra. Energy comes down into it, comes up into it. It's a very intelligent chakra. Maybe we can just go through a couple minutes of letting our heart chakra indicate for us where we might want to pay attention and do a little healing.
I would love
clearing.
That. Thank you.
All right. So let's each take a couple deep breaths. Oh, and just note that when you breathe in, you're allowing your own spirit to bring into you whatever it is you need. And every time you exhale, you're giving permission for your breath to release whatever you're finished with. And then, like we do on a daily basis, unconsciously, we're just going to trust that our breath is going to continue to enfold, unfold, release, and bring in through this short exercise. And then even out your breathing and bring your focus to the very center of your chest. And ask that your heart chakra just kind of open up, much like a flower would, to welcome you into the very center of your heart chakra. Just kind of make room for yourself in here. This is a core, your place, your of havening, of heavening inside of you, in the very center of your chest. And then if you feel comfortable, request that streams of grace, love in motion, healing energies be provided from whatever it is you call spirit, your own spirit, spirit helpers, the great spirit, to just emanate from the center of your heart chakra. So literally they're coming from the middle of you to move up and down and around you, making waves, making way, cleaning, clearing. These energies will do the work for you. Just flow and follow these waves of grace. They're always available. You can ask for streams of grace anytime you want or you desire them. They're given when they're needed. They do what they need to do. They attach as long as they're necessary. They transform, they leave. They're streams of light of every color. So as you feel this sort of clearing, balancing, and interconnectivity occurring between all your chakras and your heart chakra, just kind of settle back into stillness in your heart chakra and ask that your own spirit, guiding spirit, make known to you intuitively which chakra needs a little bit more focus. You might get a sense in your body, a physical awareness or pain. You might also just receive a knowing or an awareness. Perhaps you get guidance and a word pops in or a song unfolds. Or maybe you get an image. And whatever and however your intuition shares, trust it. And then bring your focus, your loving focus, to that chakra. Maybe it's the first, the hips, the abdomen, the solar plexus, the heart, your throat, your brow, the top of your head, or some other place around you. We're very complicated beings. Trust where you're taken and where you know to go. And once more, request that that which is spirit to you just illuminates what's been going on, maybe even the core issue. And provides additional streams of grace for transformation. This healing is being gifted to you. It is a blessing of unconditional love. Simply allow these same streams of grace help integrate and balance, and will continue to do that. Whatever else is to be known, you'll get a sign, an omen, a dream, a knowing, read a passage in a book that speaks to you. And for right now, you can just simply bring your focus back to the center of your heart chakra. Oh, and breathe deep. Through this blessing, you're even more supported now in being the blessing you are for this world. Breathe again and open your eyes. And just be in the space of you.
Aho. Thank you, Cindy.
Thank you, Bonnie.
I used to play a little game. I lived in New York and it was terrible traffic and a taxi cab. And I used to play a game that I would focus on each chakra, kind of close my eyes and then open my eyes just a little bit and see which outside, look outside the window and see how that color would pop up. So if it was the first chakra, I'd see a red stoplight or something like that. Or there'd be a sign. And it was really fun. It was really fun. I kind of keep my eyes soft. So it was a fun little meditation game for myself. And I must say, when we were working on this, I kind of peeked. We were talking about the heart, and I kind of peeked, and there's a green light showing the microphones on right here. And it was reminding me of how we can work with our chakras. And hey, color happens to be super resonant. There's ways you can do it with sound. There are mantras that go with each chakra. There are the yantras, the sacred symbols that go with each chakra. And Cindy, you're so beautifully informed, and also just, again, with the subtle energetics of working with each chakra. And I know you're doing workshops. You've got several books from several different publishers, workshops, hopefully in person someday, but certainly online. And CindyDale.com, right? Cindy with a Y.
That's it. It's all there. Sign up for a newsletter and you'll be updated. And I love what you just said about the colors. It makes me, you know, gives me a new idea that you don't know what chakra to work on, just ask through the day that you're attracted mainly to the color, that you're going to mainly see the color that's the chakra that you need to reinforce. I mean, there's so many ways that we can personalize who we are into the chakra system.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're trying to heal something, I mean, work with that color. Put a blue scarf around a sore throat or a yellow pillow if your belly doesn't feel right. I mean, it's fun if nothing else, but it's all of this is so subtle and it is real and it is intertwined. And I'm just giving myself goosebumps as I talk about it.
Have it be fun is what you're saying. Let it be fun,
right?
Not just deeply serious.
Well, yes, exactly. I mean, just because I think if you try to take it too seriously and intellectualize it, you're going to miss something. And don't feel like you have to know absolutely every aspect of it all. It will come flowing in, this knowledge, or you'll find people, you'll come across a podcast like this and become informed.
Beautiful. Absolutely. A little bit of chakra knowledge goes a long way. That's why I told people, don't just maybe go get the big book from Cindy or anybody else. It's okay to get a little one. And, you know, if this is more on the new side to you, You know, kind of it's like how kids, you know, kind of get to know something. They color, they draw, they, you know, they make it fun. So we need to do the same for ourselves.
Thank you, Cindy. Well, you definitely make it fun. And I must say, I'm loving the colors you're offering us. There's not officially a pink chakra, but I think we'll attribute that to the heart as well. And
Let's
thank
do
you.
pink and heart. It's a
Right,
good one. Yes.
exactly. No, and thank you. It's such an important message today and always to tune into that. And let's just, think peace, right? I mean, that's really the message I want to share in all that we're learning here. So thank you. And that's peace. And it starts right in our own vessels. We feel good, right? We feel balanced. We feel peaceful. And then that immanence can hopefully perpetuate further and further.
Amen.
It might start with
So be
driving home, or it
it.
might start, but I really think that we have to. I mean, because it's an important topic in this March 17th of 2022 when this is taping. Peace and world peace is a big subject matter. So thank you for doing all that you do. You take your messages well beyond the US, right? You're in Europe. We mentioned you're in China. I mean, that's just so great to know of the interest in this, Cindy, and you're really just enlightening us all. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. My pleasure. Thanks, Bonnie,
Until
and
the next
everybody.
time. Everybody, this has been Truth Be Told Transformation, and I'm Bonnie. It was, again, thank you to Cindy Dale, who you can find at cindydale.com. It was a really great talk, and we're really here to share subjects that we hope will help you feel better to live your highest life. Every week, we have three new episodes. On Monday, Robert Hensley has the Minutemen Report. That's live at 3 Pacific. And of course, on Fridays, it's Tony Sweet with Truth Be Told. 3 o'clock on Friday, go on and say hi and make sure he knows how loved he is. Until the next time, I hope that you will share and follow and subscribe. Thanks for watching and listening.